Welcome to Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium, a podcast for fiber artists and producers. I'm your host, Madeline Norman. Today's show features an interview with Scott Snyder of Snyder's Spindles. We'll be discussing his latest upcoming project, the Destiny Spindle, which is an entirely new revolutionary design in Turkish drop spindle that I think we will all enjoy. Since the recording of this podcast last week, Scott has funded his Kickstarter project entirely. However, as he'll say later on in the interview, donations are welcome. Everything he gets above and beyond the cost of producing the spindles will go to buying materials to make more colors. So that's a win-win for everybody. Without further ado, let's hear from Scott. It snowed this morning.
Lucky you.
Not so much. lucky me has been in the 50s until today, and then white stuff fell from the sky. Not so happy.
It's that time of year. We've lucked out here. We haven't had any snow yet.
Yay! I thought you were going to say, yeah. Shut up, I'm buried in feet of it.
This is crazy. It's probably the best winter ever.
Right?
I'm sure in February I won't be saying that.
Probably not.
My girlfriend... It's really looking forward to moving to Florida to get away from the winters. So I think this is somebody telling us that, you know, maybe we should just stay here.
What? But what? I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me. There's not like a whole bunch of fiber stuff in Florida.
No, there really isn't. The truth of the matter is I make most of my sales with Etsy anyway.
Yeah, but now you're at Rhinebeck. You're a big deal.
I'm not a big deal.
You're kind of a big deal.
Nah.
Yeah, every fiber festival I went to this year... tables full of Snyder's spindles.
Yeah, there's quite a few different styles out there.
And the little tiny itty bitty ones. You made like a super tiny Turkish.
Yeah, with the shaft is only 2.5 inches on it.
Yes, it was the cutest thing ever.
Those were actually the first minis I was making. And then I did get some complaints that people just couldn't get enough fiber on them.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd run out of room on the shafts. And that's why I went to the larger shafts on those.
You could do like a lace weight cotton and put a whole bunch on there.
Yeah, that's true.
Because cotton's everybody's favorite to spin.
We love cotton. Cotton and flax. Best fibers to work with in the world.
I guess we should maybe introduce you at this point.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Scott Snyder of Snyder Spindles.
From Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Yep.
How long have you been up there?
I've been in Wisconsin my whole life.
Oh, okay.
I was actually born in Fond du Lac, so.
What is your fiber background?
Ooh, my fiber background. Well, I grew up in the country and, you know, we had a whole bunch of animals and stuff. So I learned how to crochet when I was little. And pretty much from there, I discovered girls and preferred woodworking. And I was a band and chorus nerd. So,
oh, yeah. What did you play?
I play percussion. I also play guitar.
Awesome.
So I was a 4-H kid. Somebody asked me to make them a spindle. And that's pretty much where it all started. I started out on Etsy in 2008. I had a little toy shop. I made wooden toys and signs. And way back then, Etsy used to have chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually chat with other makers. One of my friends on there was a fiber artist, and she asked me to make her a spindle. So I was like, okay, yeah, fine. That seems easy enough. They're a wheel on a stick.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get some fiber. I'm going to test the spindle out. So I went to the yarn shop, and they didn't sell fiber. And they're like, why don't you just go to the store across the street? And literally, directly across the street was a fiber shop.
No kidding.
Yeah, very lucky. So I went to the fiber shop. I told the person working there that I was planning on making a couple spindles. And I just needed some fiber. She basically told me that every woodworker thinks they can make spindles, but all they do is make junk. So she did sell me a copy of Respect the Spindle, you know, by Abby Frankemont, and a little bit of fiber. And she actually called me back. And she's like, okay, if you really want to do this, I will test a couple spindles, but don't get your hopes up. I was like, oh, okay. So I went home. I made a couple spindles. In retrospect, they were garbage. What can you do?
So, well, I mean, you are a woodworker. What do you expect?
Exactly. She did give me feedback on them. And she told me I was on the right track. But she's like, you know, if you're going to keep doing this, you have to learn how to spin. That was probably the best advice I've ever gotten in my life.
You knew how to use yarn, but you had never processed fiber before.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Big fan of Red Heart. Yarn's cheap. You go to the store. A couple bucks, hey. Right?
Lion brand.
So, exactly. Go online. You can get patterns. It's awesome.
And hey, one of their yarns is called homespun, so it's practically the same thing, right?
Exactly. They obviously make it with pre-industrial revolution technologies, right?
Of course.
At this point, I was just really, really, really getting frustrated. I'm like, okay, what's he doing to me here?
Mm-hmm.
We kept working on it, and I did learn how to spin. For a while there, I thought they should have been called throwing spindles instead of drop spindles.
Yeah.
I had the book. It's a wonderful resource, but I didn't have the companion video that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on YouTube and trying to learn something on YouTube. It's kind of difficult to try to find the right person. You know, it's just
Right. Everybody
has their own style, and I got there. Me and the owners were awesome friends. They took me under their wing. They introduced me to a lot of people. They carry my spindles. It's been a really, really positive thing.
Good.
So Sarah and Hans von Tresco, they're my gurus in the fiber world. Yeah, the shop's called the Wool Gatherers. They have really inexpensive fiber. It's super to have the shop basically in my town.
So you just kept working on it until you got one?
Yeah. I went in to make Turkish spindles, and she basically said, well, you're going to want to make top roll spindles.
Why?
Well, because everybody has their own opinion on what's going on in the spinning world. But some people prefer top whirls over low whirls or Turkish. And
it seems to be that's supposed to be your foray into spindling in general, is to use a top whirl. And I have to say, once I found Turkish, I've never gone back to top whirl. I can't stand them, personally. But, you know, and everybody that I've shown your spindle to when I've been spinning out and about has been like, that just seems so much more intuitive. It just makes so much more sense than a top whirl, which it really does. I guess maybe she thought, well, a wheel and a stick, it's the easiest kind to make.
Right. And the only Turkish spindle she carried was the Ashford, mm-hmm. You know, and the Ashford one is it looks like a grappling hook.
Right.
It's huge. It literally looks like a boat anchor. You know, yep, I started with top whirls and low whirls. I did go into Turkish, and same as you, you know, once I started spinning on the Turkish, everything just kind of clicked. It takes a little longer to wind on, but I have a center pull ball here, you know,
right?
So if I'm gonna apply it, I'm already set. Now, I can just apply from both ends.
So was your first design, were the arms solid on it?
Oh yeah, my first ones were just basic shape.
When did you start putting the animals in?
The animals came, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago, somewhere in that region.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it hasn't been very long at all. What happened was I was making the sci-fi Turkish. It's mm-hmm. the one that has all the holes in the top, and then the centers are cut out. That brought a lot of the weight down. People kept saying, do that. You know, you could put a sheep in there. I started putting sheep in there, and then I'm like, well, if I could put a sheep in there, why not a narwhal? Who doesn't love narwhals and whales? And I just kind of went nautical for quite a while. It made no sense to the spinning at all, but
yeah, well, these are some books. T-Rex, but everybody loves that.
Oh yeah, who wouldn't want a dinosaur? Come on.
I mean, we are kind of aggressive as fiber people.
Yeah.
So how do you decide what kind of woods to use?
Typically, you know, you want to use a hardwood. My main goal is to keep them in a price range that's, you know, not insane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to win the lottery in order to get a spindle.
Right.
If you get a spindle that you paid, let's say, $175 for, you are going to be so scared to use that spindle properly. Oh, if you drop it and chip it, you're out that money.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, something bad's going to happen. I tend to use domestic woods a lot because I want people to spin and have fun with their spindles.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a guild meeting and somebody was spinning on a very expensive spindle. It hit the floor. The whole meeting stopped. Until she picked up the spindle and inspected it. And I was like, oh my God, this is just crazy. So that's why I make the gear spindles, the top whirls.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're $15 unfinished, $20 finished.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go somewhere and you have your nice spindle and you're scared to use it, bring the gear spindle with you. Worst case scenario is, you know, you're out $15.
Your spindle is my nice spindle, but I take it everywhere. Just being honest. I mean, it doesn't get much better than a personalized Turkish, so.
Right.
And then I get to show you off.
I appreciate it.
And I will have, you know, the winner of the giveaway spindle is quite happy. We sat down awesome. And showed him how to use it, and he's become quite devoted, as we all do. Do you get awesome. To spend much time actually spinning, or is most of your time spent making spindles?
I spin for myself nightly. Usually
awesome.
When I get done with the day, I pop on the TV, I sit down, I usually spin for about an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, I spend throughout the day too. You know, there's a lot of testing that goes into them. It's pretty awesome because I test with this. It's a domestic roving, so it's who knows what. It's probably floor sweepings. I don't know. But it's what I use for testing. Uh-huh. So, you know, I'll spin some and then I'll keep that yarn and I'll ply it together. I'm actually making a afghan out of it. It smells a little sheepy. And right now it's about the size of a lap blanket right now. Uh-huh. I have it folded up and my cats live on that thing. They just adore that sheepy smell. So,
isn't it great to make something out of your own hand spun? I'm working on it.
Yeah, definitely.
The only hand spun that I've worked with before of my own has been stuff that wasn't good enough to sell. So I've just, you know, made hats for people out of it or whatever. This is the first time that I've made something really nice. And I love my own yarn. Like, I'm kind of jamming on it right now, but I love it.
There's just something about your own yarn. Mm-hmm. Yay.
I did this.
Yeah, and you know, when I'm using my hands, but if I'm knitting up a hat or something, I'm like, whoever's going to get this is totally going to not care.
Right? They'll be like, oh, that's nice. Like,
right? I know how my grandma felt when I got a sweater when I was little.
Right? And you totally blew it off.
Like, oh, no big deal. It's a sweater. Thank you so much.
That took me all year to make.
The arms are almost the same length. Thank you.
So tell me about your latest project.
Oh, yeah. My latest project, the Destiny Spindle. I do come up with quite a few spindle designs. And this is the first one that I've come up with that using wood really isn't the best medium for making it. I had this idea that with a spindle, you want to get the weight to the outside edge of the spindle. And with a Turkish spindle, you know, all the mass is on the inside. Mm-hmm. But you're kind of tied into that crescent shape because you got to get the cop off it, or you're locked into using slats. Mm-hmm. So you either have stacked slats or you have the big crescent shape. Mm-hmm. You can't really add things to the outside. If you do, you can't get the cop off. So I was thinking about it, you know, right before I fell asleep one night. And then it came to me that if I was to use four arms that would nest together rather than just two, it wouldn't matter what was on the outside because you could still get it apart. I got out of bed. I drew it up and I went back to bed. And then the next day, you know, I made a wooden prototype and, you know, it worked really well. 3D printing it would make it super light. So when I weighted the tips, it would have a better ratio of weight to pull all the weight out. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I downloaded some 3D modeling software and played around with that. I came up with some prototypes and then I would have to submit the prototype to, let's say, Shapeways or another online service. And then wait, you know, usually between a week or two to get the project back. Mm-hmm. I'm making designs, but I'm trying to keep them as simple as possible so I can play with them, but so that I can get away with one design for all four of the arms. Mm-hmm. Now, the spindle works. It works great. I'm getting a feel for, you know, how the plastic works. I launched the Kickstarter campaign a few days ago. I'm trying to raise about $4,500. That'll buy the printer and the filament, pay for shipping and the boxes. And for just starting out, it's really, there's no profit to be had there. Mm-hmm. It's just funding the equipment. I launched it 3 days ago. So currently, we're at 76% funded.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're really close to getting there with a month to go.
And where can people find that?
If you go to my website, www.snyderspindles.com, or on Facebook, Snyder Spindles again. I've got my own board there. On Ravelry, also Snyder Spindles. Or you could just go directly to Kickstarter and go to the bottom and click on Crafts. Currently, I'm the featured project on the craft page, so it's really easy to find.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, there's a video. It shows it working. You can see me fumble through my my talking. Pretty nice. It's possibly the worst video I've ever seen in my life. I'm clearly reading a script and not ever looking at the camera. But that's okay.
Well, 76%, so, yeah, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, definitely not. It's really exciting. Once it gets funded, hopefully it'll go a little bit over. Currently, I'm offering them in like four different colors. So if we go over that amount, I'll start adding more colors.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What made you decide to go to 3D? Because we had discussed before the benefits of wood over plastic.
The bad thing about the plastic, in my eyes, is just the weight. Using the four arms and weighting them, it takes advantage of the fact that they're too light. I don't think I would print a standard looking, a Turkish. That design, you got cutting edge technology, you can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the rule book out. It doesn't matter. It should be a really fun time. I did apply for a provisional patent.
Wow.
Hopefully the forearm design will be mine. I couldn't find anybody else using it. I talked to quite a few people about it, and they haven't seen anything like it.
That's so exciting.
The forearm spindle will be mine for 20-some years. Take that, everybody.
Right? Literally on the cutting edge of drop spindle technology.
Yes, I'm considering buying a lab coat.
You can sell it on QVC and say that it's a revolutionary new design.
Right. You know, right now I could slap patent pending on it. So
yes, you should.
That really brings up, it's patent pending.
Often imitated, but never duplicated.
Exactly. So basically the provisional patent, it runs for a year before you can file the actual patent.
Hmm.
Once that goes into play, then I can go after everybody who tries to steal my invention. It's going to be chaos. Yeah. No, it's a good idea. Nobody else has ever done it. It's my baby, and I just want to keep it my baby.
Yeah, you should get paid for what comes out of your brain.
Scary thought.
So you, in addition to being popular on Etsy and everywhere that spindles are sold, you went to Rhinebeck this year.
Ooh, I did.
As a vendor.
I did. I certainly did. It was awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I was actually in Susan's Fiber Shops booth.
Mm-hmm.
Susan's one of my buddies. There's a lot of fiber stuff going on here in Wisconsin. And I know quite a few people that have stores and stuff, and everybody's super supportive. So, yeah, she did let me go up to Rhinebeck and set up a little corner and sell my spindles. It was super awesome because, you know, I'm a homebody. I don't get out of Wisconsin too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to meet a lot of my friends from Facebook, Ravelry, you know, all my friends that are over on that side of the country. And it was just awesome. I really would have loved to see more of the show, but I really felt I had to stick around at the booth and meet people. It was nice, you know, it started snowing one day.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, there's snowflakes in the air. It was very pretty.
Everybody's Instagram pictures were bright and sunny. Nobody said about snow.
It was cold. I wore shorts my first day.
Oh, no.
It was cold. There's a lot of vendors. So the primo spots, they're in buildings with four walls, you know, the convention centers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We were in one of the barns, so it was an open barn that they put plastic sheathing up.
Oh.
And yeah, the wind was just cutting through there, you know. Luckily, there was enough people there. You know, we're like, you know, a bunch of sheep huddled together in there. But yeah, it was a really super time. The show was huge. I spent the last couple of years going to Wisconsin Sheep and Wool.
Uh-huh.
It's a big show, but it's nothing compared to Rhinebeck.
Right.
It was just a really good experience. I now know that I'm not a big fan of driving through the mountains. Yeah, it was like my first real big adventure. You know, I had a really good time.
Where can we find you next year? Are you planning to vend anywhere? Or?
Yeah, next year is just keep on keeping on. You know, I'm going to be making more spindles, getting some new products out there. I do a few shows in Wisconsin every year. I don't know. The future's pretty much wide open. And, you know, I'm just going to keep refining and keep baking spindles as long as I can. It's pretty awesome.
Very exciting.
Yeah, right? I'm so awkward. It's just amazing.
I think we all are. We sit at home with our stash and just kind of meet each other through the internet.
I'm sitting here. I'm surrounded by spindles and spinning wheels and, you know, I'm just really happy.
My precious is.
Exactly. It's awesome.
Tell me about the guinea pig.
Oh, the guinea pig. Well, like I said earlier, I was a 4-H kid, and I raised guinea pigs when I was in the 4-H, and I would show them. My daughter decided she needed a guinea pig, so my daughter, she'll be 18 in a couple days. It's pretty frightening. So we got a guinea pig, and he just turned into, you know, the spokesmodel for the company. We did lose him about a year ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He did pass away. You know, I didn't just want to run out and get a replacement.
Right.
We waited about 8 months. A few weeks ago, we actually got two more guinea pigs.
Oh, wow.
Their names are Crowley and Winchester.
Very nice.
And they're very little. My girlfriend is a big Supernatural fan, so they got some growing up to do. So
mm-hmm.
we'll be the new guinea pig spokespeople. eventually, or spokes pigs, I guess. So.
And will they travel with you?
Where allowed, they will be. A lot of shows don't allow animals that aren't, you know, directly fiber related. Yeah.
What about the long-haired ones?
Well, I think the long-haired ones, you could probably get away with calling them fiber animals. You know, these are the short hairs. These are the American guinea pigs.
Just say that they've been recently shorn.
Right. They're a crucial part of this whole thing.
Well, exactly.
If you've never had a guinea pig, a guinea pig's a lot like a potato. They really don't do a whole heck of a lot, but they are super adorable.
Do you have the balls for them?
I do have one ball. I'm going to look for a second one. Typically, we just let them run around on the floor in the living room, and they chase the cats around. It's pretty exciting to see my awesome cats who are scared to death of a small rodent.
Wow, but, I would have thought it would have gone the other way around.
You know, I grew up on a farm. A farm cat would have taken care of these guinea pigs in 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
But the house cats that I have here are so domesticated, they go and they eat out of a bowl, and that's it.
And hold down the couch.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, I could do a little backstory on how I actually started making spindles full-time.
Yes, please.
I spent pretty much 20 years working in factories. I worked 13 years in a bindery. I put magazines together for a living.
Wow.
It's a super exciting career choice, that's for sure. I actually worked in the finishing department. We got all the magazines. So all the parts of the magazines came to us, and then we assembled the magazines and trimmed them to size. And it was pretty exciting because the company I worked for, you know, they made Playboy magazines. So that was always a huge deal. Till you actually spent 12 hours a day plugging the same piece of paper into a machine.
Not so exciting.
Not so exciting at all. We also did the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. So that was exciting because it was one of those things where it was so secretive that they had people watching you to make sure you didn't steal it or take pictures of anything.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. It was funny because we do advanced ones, you know, when we got things running. 2 days later, you know, it was on the Tonight Show or whatever, you know.
Look what I just got.
And you're like, yeah.
But anyways, yeah. Woohoo. So I went from there to Oshkosh Truck. It was a union job. It did pay much better. And they basically, we made cement trucks and military vehicles. It got slow at Oshkosh Truck, and I was only there 5 years, so I was laid off.
Oh.
But it wasn't bad because my spindles were starting to take off. So I decided, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm not employed. I've got a little money. I'm going to do this. So I started making as many spindles as I could, kept refining them, and so far, so good. Just like anything else fiber-related, there's lean times, there's good times.
Right.
It's definitely not guaranteed income by any means, but...
Amen.
exactly.
And it never comes the way you think it will.
It's scary, but I don't think I could go back and punch a clock anymore.
Yeah,
it's just,
I hear
this is, you know, you take the good and you take the bad, you know? I don't think I've ever been I don't think I've ever been happier.
Awesome.
The fiber community as a whole is just so awesome. Everybody's so supportive, and you know, we all love what we do, and it's just great.
And we're surrounded by a customer base who actually appreciates what we do.
Yes, your families might not, but they do.
Right. Really, we're all just pushers.
you just want to start out with this. No, it's not going to be a habit. No, go ahead.
Well, you know, as long as you're getting that, you might as well pick up one of these.
Exactly. There's a picture you see online quite a bit about why would you buy a $5 hat when you could make your own for $75?
Right.
Yeah, my family, when I first started, you know, they thought I was pretty insane. My girlfriend thought I was just wasting my time, and she really didn't comprehend, you know, like, people actually spin. This was such an odd concept to her.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, well, what are you gonna do, sell 5 of them and then you're gonna be done? Nope. I did take her to a fiber show and her jaw just dropped.
This is a thing.
People actually do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it took a while, but she got on board, and I think most of my family, my brothers and sisters, think I'm nuts, but that's okay. They're probably right.
Like you said, you love what you do.
Exactly. And if nobody understands that, well, I really don't care. As long as I can keep a roof over my head,
right?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat right now, where there's been so much interest, but there's not currently a whole lot of purchases.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I don't want to stop doing this, but I need to bump it up somehow.
You just pray, you know, that mm-hmm. things will work out.
I would rather gnaw my arms off at the elbows than go back to a 9-to-5 office job. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, yes. You know, people are like, you know, you're doing this by choice?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah, this is what I want to do.
And you're good at it.
I'm okay.
Oh, you know? Rick and I have tried enough spindles that... There's some really less favorable ones, shall we say. People who think that it's easy to make a spindle, and it's not.
No, it's not. It's easy to make a spindle. It's not easy to make a good spindle.
Yep, that's a better way to put it. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the spindles, you know, like they're using in Peru, they do wonderful work with less than optimal spindles, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a bad spindle won't work. I spent a lot of time spinning with a potato on a chopstick, and it was exciting. It was great. I loved it. Well, the potato got soft, and it started growing. And
that's amazing.
It's a basic machine, you know.
Right.
It's a wheel and an axle.
Right.
But yeah, there's definitely quite a range of quality out there.
Yeah, some of them I didn't even have to put fiber on. All I had to do was spin them. And you could tell they weren't balanced, or you'd put fiber on them and it wouldn't be, but, you know, 4 or 5 wraps and they'd start swinging. And
yeah, a lot of that comes down to testing too. You really have to test them to make sure, because mm-hmm. wood changes constantly. You know, it was a growing living thing.
Right.
So yeah, you're talking about weight. There's quite a few that I cut out that look fine, and then I test them and they end up going into the fireplace.
So you test everyone?
Yeah.
That's
I do.
That's amazing. And yeah. Then what'll you do if something's off? Do you change the arms, or do you just toss the whole thing? Or how do you know?
It depends on the spindle itself.
Uh-huh.
If it's a domestic wood spindle that I don't have a lot of money involved in the wood, depending on how far off it is, it might get chucked.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if I'm using an exotic wood, I have a plumb bob set up. I'll hang them to make sure that they're sitting square, and I will, you know, add weight to them or take weight away from them and try to get them to balance out. So it's really just dependent on the materials that I'm using, whether I'm going to invest the time into doing that or not.
What's the most expensive wood you've used?
Probably ivory.
Oh, wow.
Not ivory, ebony.
I was thinking of
pianos. No, yes, I was slaying elephants. No.
That's highly controversial, no. Scott.
Yeah, I know. Well, they make new elephants every day.
Right. Of course.
Yes,
there's an elephant born every minute.
Exactly. You know, the gestation times are nothing. They just
now
pop
that
them
we
out.
Can engineer them.
Yes. I don't use any endangered woods. Obviously,
or elephants.
Yeah. Or elephants. Yeah. For a while there, I had a plan that I wanted to make a bunch of spindles out of a piano. I wanted to buy an old piano.
Yeah.
A piano that was way beyond repair.
Right.
And then just strip it down, use everything I could out of this piano. Etsy pretty much put a kibosh to that.
Why?
They banned ivory. Well, they banned ivory. You couldn't use any endangered.
As a musician, as a pianist, I would love that. I would buy like a dozen of them. Just saying.
Well, you know, you have to have some kind of certification stating, you know, what it's actually made out of. The piano I want to get would be the oldest piano that I could find. And, you know, I want one old enough where it wouldn't be, you know, plastic.
Right.
It might happen, but, you know, it'd be after we move. I don't think my girlfriend would be very appreciative to me stripping down a piano in the living room.
I'm sure there will be a ton of poor quality pianos to be found in Florida.
That's true.
Between the salt and the humidity.
Right. Most of the exotic woods I use, they're way more expensive than domestic hardwoods. You know, your walnuts, your maples, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But yeah, they're not insanely expensive. They're not cost prohibitive. I've been a really big fan of Red Heart lately.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about the wood. It cuts nice. Smells a little bit like burnt rubber when you work with it, which isn't great, but yeah. I don't know. It's a really pretty wood. Now, canary wood. is another pretty wood, and it almost smells like sweet tarts when you cut it. That's probably my favorite wood to work with. It smells really, really good.
So that's what you do all day, is just play with wood and fiber.
Yes, pretty much.
That's a pretty epic life.
It's awesome. You know, I don't have an alarm clock.
Your boss is super mean.
Oh, he is awful. I don't get vacations very often. He makes me work overtime. If there's a show coming up, he has me out there, you know, 12, 13 hours a day.
And that's not a vacation. That's a work trip.
Yeah.
It is not the same thing.
No, not at all. When we went to Rhinebeck, I didn't have any hotel reservations.
Did you sleep in your car?
No. No, actually, we were lucky enough to find a very scary, I assume haunted hotel pretty close to Rhinebeck.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a pretty scary hotel, and I didn't touch the comforter, and I slept pretty much on top of the sheets. And
you wore flip-flops in the shower.
Pretty much. The shower was a very old blue bathtub, and all the handles were rusted on it. It was a good time.
It was a memory.
It was.
Don't ever forget.
It wasn't bad. We paid way too much, but, you know, I assume their price fluctuate whether or not there's a huge fiber show going on the next town over.
Exactly. But that's probably when they make most of their money.
Right.
So do you sell your own yarn as well, or you just spin for yourself?
I just spin for myself.
What do you like to spin?
I actually, like, what kind of fiber?
Yeah.
Or weight? Or...
Well, both.
I'm not really a fiber snob. I like spinning pretty much anything I can get my hands on. I do appreciate a lot of blended fibers. You know, it all depends why I'm spinning it. If I'm going for something, a super lace weight, I like stuff with silk in, and, you know, maybe some merino mixed in there to give it extra slipperiness.
Mm-hmm.
But I really haven't had a fiber that I've really, really super hated. Pretty much anything I get my hands on, I like to spin.
And since you generally have cold winters, you're open to some of the warmer fibers, like alpaca.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I like alpaca. It's a fun fiber. I got a bunch of a llama a while ago, and that took a little while to get used to. It was a tactile thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so much like hair to me,
mm-hmm.
like human hair. It was just, it took a while, but yeah, it was all right. My friend Susan, she has Tease Waters.
And, I love Tease Water.
I love the fiber, and, you know, I just love the Rastafarian look of these sheep.
Yeah, with the dreads and the bangs. They're so cute.
Definitely are very cute.
Well, what are your resolutions for the new year? Fiber resolutions.
Fiber resolutions. Probably just to spin more.
To find fellow fiber people in Florida.
Well, we're not at Florida just yet. Okay. My she just graduated from college. She got a degree in forensic science. She did her internship at the medical examiner's office here in town.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a whole bunch of really fun stories about, you know, witnessing, I don't know how many it was like 45 autopsies. And you know, she'd come home with fun facts like, boy, do you know what the human brain feels like? And I'd be like, I don't know, probably like a brain. Her father and her sister live in Florida, so she wants to go down there to be closer to them.
You
so,
could split the
you know,
difference and go to Tennessee.
That would work, too. I've always been a big fan of Georgia. We could just move to Georgia. You
then
know,
you'd be
there's
close
trees
to Saf.
There. Right?
Yeah.
A hop, skip, and jump from the Carolinas.
Right.
Yeah, but let's go to Florida where there's no trees that I could use, you know?
Yeah, right? Then I'll have to import. Which is going to run up my overhead.
Exactly.
But there are enough murders to offset it.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, we need to find a nice neighborhood to live in where not too far away there's a whole bunch of people being murdered.
You could move to wooded Kentucky. Close to me a couple years ago, they were running, literally, this is not a joke, they were running a 2-for-1 sale at the cemetery because of the local heroin problem. There's another job source for her.
Why pay high retail when you can buy factory direct?
Right.
Oh. I was thinking, you know, I used to play the banjo, so might
You'll
not be a
fit
bad
right
idea.
In.
Mm-hmm. I'll just crank up some Earl Scruggs and we'll be fine.
And you're good with farm animals, so
not a big deal.
Well, that will be a big life change.
No, it's not set in stone yet. We'll see what happens. The good news is, because I sell online, I can pretty much go anywhere. People in Europe really don't care where I'm from. So.
Right. Yeah. Do you make a lot of overseas sales?
Actually, I do. It's mainly Europe and Australia. I'm pretty popular in Australia, which is awesome because that's like where I want to be. I've always dreamed about living in Australia. So.
Are there a lot of murders there?
I assume so. I think actually there is. I'm not saying anything negative about a country that was founded by, you know, criminals.
Of course not. But, I mean, you know, it's out there.
Yeah.
She could find a job.
Yep. I also do pretty well in Japan.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I sell quite a few to Japan. It really blows my mind. You know, I'm in my 40s. I grew up around Apple computers. And just the thought that, you know, how technology's changed, I'm selling all over the place.
Yeah.
South Africa, you know, I don't know anybody in South Africa, you know.
Right.
It's just kind of mind-blowing. Technology's just really awesome. Oh my God, I'm old.
I still don't know how cameras work. They're magic.
Digital cameras or real cameras?
Any of them.
Film cameras.
Don't know how it works. It's magic. I don't really need to know. It'll ruin it for me. Like, I just appreciate that there's a magic box with a hole in it, and it captures all of the special moments of my life.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. That's as far as I need to go.
Definitely. Yeah, technology is amazing. And the fact that things are so simple, you don't need to know how they work.
Right. And when they don't work, there are people out there who understand it. And they can fix it while I make yarn, which exactly. They don't understand at all. Do you spin on the wheel at all either?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I have two wheels right now. I have a small flax wheel, a small antique flax. And then I got the love of my life. She's an Ashford Elizabeth.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I love her. My girlfriend wants me to sell one of them.
But what?
We'll see what happens with that. Not a whole lot of room.
Yeah, but you need them.
I know. I love them.
They're necessary for the business.
But I sell spindles.
Yeah, but it proves your credibility.
We'll see how that goes with her, over with her.
Right.
No, she's supportive. It's just, you know, they're taking up room. I also made an Indian head wheel. Are you familiar with those?
No.
They sit on top of a sewing machine treadle. They're like what came before, like, the country spinner.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they have a huge bobbin on them. The orifice, the one I made, it's like an inch in diameter. It's huge.
Wow.
And yeah, it just sits on top of the sewing machine treadle, and you treadle it. It's really good for making really super thick, bulky art yarns, just you know, a country spinner. And I have that. I don't have
and extra things in your yarn.
I tend not to. I'm a guy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a shocker for a straight guy, not to put a lot of beads and jewelry and feathers.
Right?
I'll leave that to the women folk.
Yes. And I'll pretend that I'm not tatting at all.
You so, tat?
Yes. I'm just starting. Yes.
My mom tried to get me to learn when I was like 12, when she was learning, and I should have, and I didn't. And now I'm kicking myself. Of course, I didn't do anything fiber related then, except for like cross stitch and embroidery. But now I wish I'd learned.
I'm doing both bobbin and needle tatting.
Oh, wow.
And I really like the idea of the bobbin, but needle tatting seems to go a little bit quicker, and I'm getting more consistent results out of it. I'm playing with that, and I'm like, I could, like, you know, add this to my yarn. You know, when I'm spinning, right. I can just add this and it'll be fabulous.
Then you can stop buying Angelina and things like that. Sari silk. Who needs sari silk when you can just make your own lace?
Exactly. I can knit a hat, you know, but that's about the extent of my knitting. Sure, I can knit two purl one. That's not a big deal. And that's where I'm at, which is fine. Got a little rigid head of loom. I'm calling it the yarn eater. It's going to be really good for making scarves and to get rid of some of my hand spun that I have sitting around.
And table runners and, yeah.
I made a Inkaloom out of scrap probably about a year ago. I think the entire loom cost me like $1 for some hardware. And
What?
yeah, well, I made it out of like scrap plywood I had. And I had some dowels laying around. And I have had a lot of fun on that. Yeah, there's just something about weaving. I love the idea of weaving. I'm just not quite there yet.
I went to
There's something
Woolery
about it.
last week and I was walking around going, oh, yeah, I can use this and this and this. And the lady said, oh, do you weave? I said, no, not yet. And she said, I said, I knit, I dye, I spin. And she goes, well, you're two thirds of the way there. Like, that's all there is. I own my own flock and I'm pretty set.
Okay, you're 7/8 of the way there now.
Oh, thanks.
So,
Okay. Like, I'm not a
yes.
complete fiber person unless I weave.
No. Yeah, I took some flack online about getting a rigid head loom. Oh, well, that's not enough of a loom.
Seriously.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, you can only plain weave on them.
Can
It's
we
just.
all just respect where each other are in fiber arts and be glad that we
Yeah.
don't all do the same things?
As a whole, the fiber community is awesome. But yeah, there's some little nitpicky people out there that can get under your skin at times. It's all about having fun.
And there's
Some people
always
just don't.
something to learn.
Yeah, it never stops. It never stops.
I am currently learning to cable, and Brick is mean to me. He didn't give me something on like knit flat, like a simple scarf or something to start cabling. No, I'm making mitts that are cabled, so I'm working 6 DPNs.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You could baby step, you know.
He said, do I need to give you a different project? I was like, no, I'm already into this one. It's just brutal is all.
You're gonna go down with the ship, aren't you?
I am. Well, and now I can finally start seeing the patterns, so I kind of don't want to give up
I can
yet.
understand that. So, how did your finals go?
I got all A's and one B.
Awesome.
And the B
That
was in
is super.
statistics, which for me is basically like A plus 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 plus. I failed algebra 4 times, so this is a huge deal. I never have to math again.
Well, using statistics, you can actually rationalize that grade. That's awesome. See, you've learned something.
The day after I finished finals, I used the words independent variables in a sentence.
Really?
Yes, I felt so mathy. The ironic part is like everyone, I didn't know it was statistics. It was called something else, like quantitative reasoning something or other. And I thought, oh, okay, well, all right. It's the easiest class I can take and still pass my math portion. And then I got in there and she was like, so it's statistics. And I was like, what? And everyone kept saying, oh, statistics is so hard. Like, I feel so sorry for you. The only reason I passed math was because I was able to logic my way out of it. I'm not even kidding. Like, every question I failed in that class was a number question. I can't count. I don't even know how old I am because I wasn't born on a year that's a five. So I can't. But
Yeah,
you
math is
passed
not my forte.
statistics with a B.
I'm definitely not a mathematician. In high school, freshman year, I took pre-algebra, and senior year, I took algebra.
I think algebra is harder. And imaginary numbers, like what?
I can just make up stuff too.
Right?
And
Well,
math's great.
and at our age, like we're a little discouraged socially from having things that are imaginary. So for someone to do
Yes.
that for a profession is just ludicrous. You think
Exactly.
what I do is ridiculous with sheep? Like, seriously? You're winning Nobel Prizes for imaginary numbers. That's not right. It's not right.
You're thinking out of the box. I'm thinking about my flock.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I do listen to every podcast.
I'm sorry
I
I've
make
been
sure to.
slacking lately.
Hey, that's
I
okay.
have finals.
Yeah, finals come a little bit before a podcast.
I had finals and a
Definitely.
sinus infection.
Oh.
And you know, Phoebe from Friends, like decades ago, she got a really bad
Oh,
cold and had sexy phlegm voice.
yeah. Yep.
That was me, only it wasn't. It was like bad diner smoker 70-year-old waitress, like, what are you going to have voice? And I didn't feel like that was appropriate to air, so.
Right. Yeah, we used to go to the truck stop a lot, and, you know, this was way back in the day when you could still smoke in an establishment. And the old lady would always be like, so, would you like smoking or chain smoking?
Here's your hash browns. It's like her finger of ash trails in. Right? It's no different than a little pepper. Yeah.
Oh, too funny. Yeah. Well, I'm glad everything went well, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, me too. Thank you. Have a very Merry Christmas and a very happy New Year. It should be a happy New Year. You have a new project to occupy you now.
I do. It's really exciting. Yeah. The way things are looking, I'm probably going to be closing my Etsy store down for a little while.
Oh, and, no.
Well, no, if this project gets funded to the point where I'm going to have to do that 24/7, it's a good thing.
So that's everybody's notice. Get them while they're available.
Yep, exactly.
You're going to be out of luck for a while.
Yeah. There's plenty out there.
Yay!
You can find them. I'm really looking forward to this project. I'm shocked at how well it's doing.
I'm not. You made a really quality product. And like you said, I mean, it's impossible not to drop your drop spindle at some point.
Yeah. I try to be careful. I usually carry around a little mat that I set down if I know I'm going to be, you know, spinning on cement or whatever.
My, what forethought.
Yes. You just take a little, like, changing mat and put it in the bag with your fiber, and then it'll be with you. So you always have it.
Right. I don't know where to get the mats from yet. I'll find somebody for that. But you can get your little mat and get your Snyder spindle and your Ballyhoo fiber and put them all in your bag by Terry. And you're good.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Definitely all set.
With your shawl design by Brick Walker. I am a one-stop shop, I'm telling you.
You are. It's amazing. All your guests tie together and to make the perfect project.
It's my plan. World domination. Well, thank you again, Scott, and best of luck to you with the Destiny Spindle. Look for it on Kickstarter. You can find Snyder's Spindles at his website, snyderspindles.com.
Yep.
On Ravelry as
Snyder Spindles.
And on Facebook.
At Snyder Spindles.
Etsy at Snyder Spindles.
Instagram at Snyder Spindles. Basically, any social media type thing. Plug in Snyder Spindles and maybe it'll work.
How do you have time to make spindles with all of this social media you're doing?
It's a balance. Well, you know, the nice thing with Instagram, I'm out in the shop, I'm working on something. I'll snap a picture of it. And so I'll post it to Instagram and also to Facebook at the same time. I'm not constantly doing it. I'm not Miley Cyrus, that's for sure.
What's wrong with you?
I know, right? Have you checked out Miley Cyrus on Instagram?
Oh, no. No.
Well, my daughter had her on there. I'm sure she has people who post for her. It's a constant barrage. It never stops. I decided to look on Instagram and try to find the Miley Cyrus that I remember.
Hannah Montana?
Not quite the Hannah Montana, more of the party in the USA, kind of.
Oh.
Before she decided she wanted to be Madonna or whoever.
A little bit cray-cray.
Yeah. A little bit. You know, I wasn't counting down the date till she was 18 or anything, but I'm like, you know, I was like, oh my God, everything went off the rails. Oh no, 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 no. Oh.
Yeah.
Once again, I guess I'm getting very old.
Did that terrify you as a parent? Because I'm sure your daughter is a fan.
Not entirely.
Oh, that's good.
I tried to raise her right. She does listen to some good music. So she was amazed that I heard of Green Day.
Honey, I graduated to Green Day.
The day you were born, I was wearing a Dookie shirt. Yeah, that's right.
And a Weezer hat. But,
exactly. You know, my sweater got destroyed. It was.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying.
She'll listen to, you know, what she considers classic rock. So you got your Pearl Jam and your Nirvana in there and stuff. And she was shocked that David Grohl was in Nirvana.
Yeah, so. That was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
You're so hip.
I'm hip. I'm cool. I'm 40 years old. I remember listening to the Bloodhound Gang in the car when my kids were younger. Mm-hmm. It was a proud moment in my life when I caught my son. He's probably 6 years old, singing The Roof Is on Fire and editing out the swear words himself. We don't need no water. Let that bad fire burn. Burn. Bad fire. Burn.
you went, yes, my son, yes.
Yes, yes. I have not created a monster just quite yet. So. As a parent, yeah, the whole Miley Cyrus thing, it was just kind of a disappointing. To me, it was a good example for my daughter. This is not what you do.
Right.
And on Instagram, it was pretty much like, okay, she doesn't have to stick things in her face. She can put her tongue inside her mouth.
Yeah, right.
You know, my daughter, she's almost 18. So we have one of those weird relationships where she can talk to me about things, which is amazing.
Right, starting to have that, like, you're an adult and you have to make your own choices.
There's a lot of reminding her that I don't need to be a grandfather anytime soon. Enjoy the time that you have. Go out, conquer the world. If you want to have kids, that's fine, but it's not something you have to do right at this minute. I'm very proud of her. She's doing really good. Graduating this year, she's working. She's already enrolled for college. And
awesome.
And she did most of that work by herself with her guidance counselor. It's pretty amazing. It seems like, you know, I was just changing diapers and now I'm old. My girlfriend has a grandbaby, so I'm good with the whole grandchildren thing right now.
Yay!
One's enough, hooray!
Right, you get all of the fun.
Exactly. Oh, look, you're so cute. Oh, you smell bad. Here you go.
Go home.
I've changed my fair share of diapers in my life, and I decided I'm really not going to be changing diapers ever again. So, I had 3 kids in diapers at one point, and yeah, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I would like to thank you again for this.
My pleasure.
It's super awesome of you.
You're one of those people that was on my list of, like, someday I'll ask if he wants to. So this was great.
It's shocking because there's people out there who think I'm really, really popular more than I am. It's kind of funny. I get emails, if something goes wrong, your packaging department did this.
I was like, oh, thinking, well, that's me, but okay.
Yeah, it was me or my girlfriend. Or... yeah, I'll take care of it. I'll get to the bottom of this really, really quick.
Let me just fire her.
Yeah. I work in a 10-foot by 10-foot shed right now. Right. You know? I can literally touch every piece of machinery if I stand in the middle of the room and spin around.
It does make it tougher, though. I mean, there is nobody but you.
The most important thing is just be open with the people and let them know what's going on.
Right.
Most people are pretty understanding. Up until now, I had a bunch of spindles that were made to order. So it was basically like the top World Gear spindles and like the standard Turkish spindle. If you would order it, it would take 5 days. I'd go out and make it and send it. That was really good initiative to get out there and get them made because they had to be sent out. With the holidays, I really backed off on that.
I'm sorry, 5 whole days?
5 whole days. And people were upset that,
that's,
you know,
like it, forever.
5 whole days. And then I got to wait like almost a week for them to get here.
Right? That's, what am I supposed insane. To spin on until then? A potato?
Right. You can also make a Turkish out of carrots if you really want to. It works.
Seriously?
Not sure.
I have to try this now.
Just get a hole in there and push them through. Try to get the weight centered. So you take a chopstick and you lay the carrot on. Move it around until it sits in the middle. As long as it's a tubular carrot without any big knots in it, try to find the center point. Yeah, vegetables are a lot of fun.
That is fantastic.
To make spindles out of. I mean, you're talking about a tool that's been around basically forever. You
right.
know?
People always ask
will it work?
Me that.
The time frame on spindles? Or
people always ask me, like, how long have people been using these? And I'm like, literally forever.
I usually tell people that before spindles, people were running around either naked or wearing animal hides. Once that stopped, then there were spindles.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And it's just not like, you know, making yarn. It's the whole fishing nets. Baskets. People think, oh, spindles. Oh, well, you're making yarn and you're going to make a sweater. Well, yeah, but you wouldn't have a blanket. I mean, and then, you know, spinning wheels came and that sped things up. And then the Industrial Revolution. And now you can go out and buy a t-shirt for $5.
Yeah, right. But it's not good quality.
No,
and
it's not.
And it doesn't fit you right.
Mm-mm. There's a time when you had to protect your clothes. That's why you wore undergarments.
Well, they would last,
though,
too.
So you could keep wearing it. That's true. Got to get out to the shop and make spindles. So.
And I have to get back to spinning and making yarn.
Lucky. I'll trade ya.
Okay. But I don't think either of us will like the outcome so much.
That's very, very true.
Well, thanks again so much.
Again, please do consider contributing to Scott and his wonderful spindles. You can find the project, I'm pretty sure, still on Kickstarter. And again, everything that he makes now that the cost is covered goes toward producing other colors of spindles for us. Latest and greatest. Let's see. I have so much stuff I can't talk about. because Christmas is coming up. Merry Christmas, everybody. And that's this time for presents, handmade presents for people who listen to this podcast. So I can't tell you very much of what I've been working on and the wonderful things that I've created that I'm very proud of, and I hope the recipients will enjoy. I will say I am very excited about all of the different things that I've done. There was one year where I made everybody dishcloths, and I think I had one year where I made a lot of hats and scarves. This year I've gone a little bit bigger. I'm using my own hand spun, so I handmade it two ways, hand spun yarn and hand knitted. Some of it I think is hand dyed, and it's just really exciting to me to be accomplishing some bigger pieces, unique individual pieces that I hope will be enjoyed for many years. And I get to expand my skills as well. I just plied the Norwegian black sheep. I don't know how many of you remember that. I did it on the drop spindle. I do love the fiber, but I'm really not pleased with my spindling. As I plied it, it kind of fell apart. That was a challenge, but I chain plied it and I'm going to use it for a present, which I need to get cracking on. So that's for my dad. Finished a present for my mom. We reintroduced the sheep after breeding. Breeding season is over here on Ballyhoo Farm. There was much bashing and humping and jostling for position amongst the rams. It sounded like someone was pounding in fence posts for several hours. They're not even shorn. They don't look any different, but they come back from breeding and it's like they've never met. Aliel was the biggest instigator. I think he thinks he's big man in the pasture now, and he's no bigger than he was when he left. But today I saw him kissing his brother. They were mutually grooming, so that was sweet. I got all A's and one B. In fact, I got an A+ in poli-sci, my international political economy class. So I'm pretty proud of that, which means I'll be on the dean's list again every semester that I've been in college. And Zeke is enjoying himself. I don't know how many of you saw the video. It's on my YouTube channel, Ballyhoo Farm, and also on the website, ballyhoofiberemporium.com. You can go there and check out the video that I made for my visual communications class, which is of Zeke herding. So that's kind of fun. Watch him at work. School starts in 3 weeks, and at that same time, I will be taking my annual pilgrimage to Washington, D.C., to go see my parents. My dad worked overtime so that he could make this trip, so both my parents will be in D.C. that week, my mom for work and my dad just to see me. We're going to go and do a bunch of fabulous things, and if anybody has any recommendations, I will have evenings. So if anybody's out there and wants to meet up and knit or spin, let me know what your favorite things are to do, and maybe there will be a giveaway when I come back. Have a very Merry Christmas. Next week we'll do our year-end wrap-up 2015. Big year, first year for the podcast. And an interview with Kelly Yates. She's the executive director of the Kentucky Sheep and Goat Development Office. So she'll tell us about state-funded programs and how they can benefit producers. Thank you to Scott Snyder for appearing on the show. Remember, you can find show notes, comment, read more about Scott and his spindles, and more at ballyhoofiberemporium.com. You can follow Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium on Facebook at Ballyhoo Farm and Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium, depending on which animals you're interested in seeing, and Instagram at ballyhoo.fiber.emporium. If you like what you've heard today, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or Podcast Republic. I'm always looking for talented people in the fiber industry to interview, fabulous prizes to give away, and fiber businesses who would like to become sponsors. If any of these sound like you, visit the contact page of the Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium website. Have a great week and a merry, merry Christmas. And remember, spin everywhere.